right, so this is Iapo and Gina, and today we are going to be playing a rerun show for Solidarity Not Charity. Thanks for those who have stayed tuned in to AhuraRadio.com, a project of the African People's Socialist Party. And today's show is going to be, it's a show that aired on 5/18 of 2008, and it's called Solidarity with the Red, Black, and Green. This is an interview with the chairwoman of the African People Solidarity Committee, and she interviews Dr. Aisha Field, the director of the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project. So again, solidarity, not charity. So the importance of the glutathione. Well, I can't even go into it. Anyway, it's a great herb. You have to, every African has to add it into their regimen for restoring health, for tonifying. So we've gone over a lot of herbs today. Hopefully you can go out and experiment. All of these are relatively low, if any, side effects reported. And those that did have side effects, I, you know, told you of those. Hopefully it was a great show and useful for you. If you have any questions or observations, please contact me. You can email me here at dj@huraradio.com. I check those on a regular basis. But in the meantime, I guess that's the end of my show. Stay tuned for Solidarity Not Charity. And I will see you again next week with Colonialism is Bad for Your Health. This is Iapo and Gina, and I want to say all power to the people, black power to the African community.
Africans into a process that explanations. We don't need no explanations.
Solidarity Not Charity is hosted by the African People's Solidarity Committee. We thank the African People's Socialist Party for allowing us this time on UhuruRadio.com. The African People's Solidarity Committee is an organization of white people working under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party that leads the Uhuru movement for the liberation of Africa and African people all over the world. Solidarity Not Charity invites other white people to participate in this discussion about why it is in our truest interest to stand in solidarity with the movement for the liberation of African people everywhere. We recognize that peace and security on this planet will never be possible without justice and liberation for African and all oppressed peoples.
Uhuru, and welcome to Solidarity Not Charity. This is Sandy Thompson in the studio with Penny Hess, Chairwoman of the African People Solidarity Day, Chairwoman of the African People Solidarity Committee, and we have an excellent program for you today. Uhuru, Penny.
Uhuru, Sandy. It's great to be here today on another version of Solidarity Not Charity. And we're really honored today to have our special guest, Dr. Aisha Fields. Dr. Fields is a physicist and a member of the African People's Socialist Party. She leads up the All African People's Empowerment and Development Project. Welcome and Uhuru, Dr. Aisha Fields. Uhuru. Well, I know that you have been so busy just leading so many projects of OPDEP, and I know that the work of OPDEP involves organizing African engineers, scientists, doctors, medical workers, and other kinds of technical, skilled people from the United States to work with African people on the continent to build infrastructure in the countries, you know, currently under systems of colonialism and neocolonialism right now. Can you tell us a little bit about what's happening? I understand that as recently as March, and I think several times this year already, different projects have gotten underway and have been very successful. Welcome to the show and tell us about some of these programs.
Sure. Thank you again for inviting me to be a part of this broadcast. As you mentioned, Penny, the All African People's Development and Empowerment Project is an organization that has been built by the African People's Socialist Party in order to organize the skills that African people have all over the world, to be able to organize skilled Africans into a process that will allow us to use our skills to build Africa and to build African communities everywhere. And we see this as a really important part of the work that's necessary to be able to, rebuild our Africa, reclaim our Africa for African people, for African workers and poor peasants. And so, we've been building APDEP for a little over a year and a half now. And as you mentioned, we just launched our first projects this year. And I did want to mention that, initially, many of the African skilled Africans that we had organized into APDEP, were from the United States, but we actually have Africans from on the continent itself, engineers and medical professionals, and Africans from other parts of the world who have recently joined APDEP. So it's not just Africans from the United States, but skilled Africans from throughout the world. And we just launched a couple of projects. In March, we sent Dr. Michelle Strongfield, who leads APDEP's medical committee. We sent her to Sierra Leone to be able to launch our healthcare projects in Sierra Leone, and we started there with a community health workers program that we're participating in there, where we're training local people how to be able to be basically healthcare, basic healthcare providers for their communities. And the time that Dr. Strongfield spent in Sierra Leone was used to be able to launch our community health workers program, where our initial efforts there are to be able to address waterborne diseases. And so in her time there, she organized a three-day workshop on how to prevent, identify, and treat waterborne diseases, where about 50 community people gained, participated and learned how to, again, identify, treat, learn how to prevent. And in the process, we're taught how to make very simple and inexpensive oral rehydration therapy, which is something that if given to a child or to an adult who's been stricken with a waterborne disease, can actually save their life, can keep them from dying from the dehydration that's associated with getting waterborne diseases. Mm-hmm. And so community people were trained how to do that. And that's the beginning of our medical work there, which is also moving in the direction of being able to build a clinic in the community that we've launched that program in.
That's so exciting. That's really powerful. And it's just, it's so efficient and quick, and it, it just shows, like you're saying, the work of the African People's Socialist Party, led by the African working class, just getting right down and doing it. I think it's exciting, too, to think about the kind of training the people, sort of like the barefoot doctors, I guess, in the Chinese Revolution. And so what are the plans for the clinic? Do you have goals, time frame for that, or?
Well, that's something that's being developed now within the medical committee. And so we don't have a concrete, time that we can say the clinic will be built, but we see the community health workers training as, the first phase, of several phases that will end, in the building of the clinic there. So that's something that we could see being built potentially within the next year to year and a half. But excellent. Even before the clinic is built, part of what we've been doing also, and it started with, this initial trip by Dr. Strongfield, was bringing medical supplies for the communities that we're working in. So we were able to send, some really, important medical supplies that were given to the community in Olashoro, where we're doing our medical work at the time. And Olashoro, I want to say, is a really skilled community. Olashoro is in Freetown, Sierra Leone, which is the capital. And Olashoro is a community of very skilled people. Many people in Olashoro are fishermen, are medical professionals, are engineers, economists. But because of the neocolonial government that is, you know, running the country, there aren't opportunities for people to use their skills to build up Sierra Leone for the people. So many of these people are unskilled. But in response to having APDEP, you know, come and work with the Africanist movement to do projects there, Olashora organized itself into several technical committees, one of which is a healthcare committee. So all of the supplies that we brought with us were turned over to the Olashora healthcare committee that uses those supplies that we brought to be able to help the community even in absence of the clinic being built right now. So we have the groundwork for what will be the clinic soon that's kind of happening right now.
That's really amazing. I mean, just really exciting. Could you explain a little bit about who is the Africanist movement? And how? Sure. What is the relationship to the African People's Socialist Party?
Sure. The Africanist movement is a mass organization that is led by Cherno Alpha Mba, who is actually a member of the African People's Socialist Party, but who leads the Africanist movement, which is an organization of, up to maybe about 100,000 people. They're based in Sierra Leone, but have members throughout West Africa, including Guinea-Conakry, Nigeria, Ghana, and other places. And the Africanist movement is an organization that struggles to organize African people into a process that will allow African people to be able to control, the resources of Africa and of West Africa. And the Africanist movement is a part of the African Socialist International, which is an organization that's been built by the African People's Socialist Party to be able to win African organizations and individuals into a process that will allow African workers to liberate and unite Africa so that the resources of Africa can be used the way that the masses of African people see fit. And so we do, as APDEP, do our work in partnership with the Africanist movement. Our West Africa work is done there in partnership with the Africanist movement. So they facilitate all of our, trips, and they are the organization that helps to, allows us to, organizes the people on the ground there that we'll be working with, and, basically as the organization that helps us to make our work happen in West Africa.
Excellent. That's really powerful. Well, tell us a little bit more about the other projects. I know there's several projects, or at least one that is completed, and several others in the works right now.
Sure. Also in Sierra Leone, we were able to send another man who's a member of APDEP, who's a part of our Clean Water Committee, by the name of Marcelo Isaac. He's out of Washington, D.C., and he traveled to Sierra Leone also in March, mid-March of this year, to be able to build three rainwater harvesting systems in Banelal, Sierra Leone, which is in Lungi, a small island off the coast of Sierra Leone. And so under Marcelo's leadership, again, we were able to build three rainwater harvesting systems, which will be able to provide the community with about 3,000 liters of clean water every day during the rainy season, which goes from about March to September. And then the community, Banela, is a community of about 500 people, many of the people in Banela are subsistence farmers. And it's interesting because what we found in an assessment trip that we took in early January that really got us, going on our projects, was that oftentimes communities have, that have wells, the wells tend to dry up around the rainy season. And so rainwater harvesting was a really natural fit, a really good fit for the communities that we'll be doing rainwater harvesting in, because right when the wells dry up, we're able to harvest the rains and even use the wells themselves as recharge them with rainwater. So it's a really simple, cost-effective way to be able to provide people with really, you know, good, clean water that can be used for drinking, cooking, or any other domestic purpose.
Is the rainwater harvesting systems on individual houses, or I know you're saying that part of it is in the wells, but is it also on a roof, or how is that working?
Right. Well, what we've done in Bunnellal is the way that the community is set up, there are maybe about four clusters of homes that make up the community. And so in each cluster, I think with the exception of one, we've used a home, someone's home, that had a basically, you know, nice metal roof that was fairly new, you know, without that, something that didn't have, you know, many contaminants or anything like that, or hadn't been rusted. And we used that roof and that cluster to serve as the area that we used to collect the rainwater. And then we made our own gutters that we attached to the roof, and our own, you know, distribution system that would then take the water from the roof to a storage tank where the water was stored. And we, you know, did that. Of course, it's a very simple kind of way of collecting water. And so it was a wonderful opportunity to be able to, you know, turn over a simple, effective technology into the hands of the people. So now the people themselves are in a position to, you know, do something similar on their own homes, you know, should resources be available. So these are the kind of things that we want to be able to do is turn over whatever skills, whatever information we have, and put it in the hands of the people so that, you know, the people themselves are empowered by, you know, ABDEP's work. So even though we built these three rainwater harvesting systems in Bunnellal, what we can envision and what we, you know, would I'm sure see happen is the people themselves being able to take on, you know, doing similar kinds of things on their own, you know, beyond what we've done in those communities.
Yes, yes. Well, also, I think you have a project going right now in Zimbabwe, correct?
Well, we're in the process now of really trying to get this project off of the ground, and I'm really appreciative of being able to be a part of this show today, because we really want to be able to get the information out to as many people as possible about our work in Zimbabwe. In Zimbabwe, we're working in partnership with the Ujamaa Youth Farming Project, which is a youth farming cooperative in Gweru, Zimbabwe. And this is a youth farming cooperative that's led by a brother named Kwanisai Mafa. And the UYFP, as it's called, has been started from land that was actually given to the organization as part of the land redistribution that was ushered in by Robert Mugabe, which is part of what all the, you know, fuss is about right now in Zimbabwe. You know, Africans being given access to lands that had, you know, been occupied by settlers, and so some of this land has been given to organizations like UIFP and others. And so part of what ABDEP is doing in partnership with UIFP is building a borehole or a pressurized well to be able to irrigate the farmland, some of the farmland, about 25 acres there at UIFP. And so we're looking for people who are interested in helping ABDEP to support the people of Zimbabwe to be able to have nutritious food and to be able to, you know, use the land in a really productive way, to be able to give to ABDEP so that we can, you know, help to make sure that this borehole happens. And so this is something actually that we're in the process of really trying to raise the resources for this borehole.
Well, Dr. Fields, I hope that our listeners will really support that project, because we hear so much reactionary things in the media, even in what purports to be a liberal media or left media in this country, opposing the reclaiming of the land by the African people in Zimbabwe, and you know, the fact that people are being able to use that land for farming to feed the people instead of for profit for the white settlers is really, really powerful. It's something we really want to get behind and encourage our listeners to support. You know, I had a question going back to the project in Sierra Leone. We saw a video of some of the work of that project taking place and some of the people there in the area. And you had mentioned that people were, it was really highly skilled population. And also we know that that region of Sierra Leone has something like $9 billion a year in diamonds coming out of it. And I was wondering, you know, given that when you did the health project there in particular, what kind of health, what was the state of the people's health there? What kind of health conditions did you find? And, you know, are the people in any way benefiting from the tremendous wealth that comes out of Sierra Leone?
Sure. Thank you for that question. I mean, it's really flies in the face of reason, when you mention something like, $9 billion worth of diamonds, coming out of a place like Sierra Leone, not to mention all of the other resources, that Sierra Leone has, that the people of Sierra Leone, Africans in Sierra Leone, basically are forced, for the most part, to live on, less than a dollar a day on average. And of course, that has a serious impact on a person's ability to be able to have a decent, a decent standard of living. And you can absolutely see the toll that it's taken on the lives of African people and people's ability to be able to have good health. The first indicator, really, that, that people are experiencing relatively poor health in Sierra Leone is the fact that the average life expectancy for women is 39 years, mm-hmm. and the average life expectancy of men is 37 years. Mm-hmm. And not only that, Sierra Leone has the highest maternal mortality rate in the world. I think 2 out of every 10 women in Sierra Leone dies in childbirth. Mm-hmm. It has the second highest infant mortality rate in the world. I heard some statistics maybe a couple of days ago, I don't exactly remember, but it was telling how many women, I think maybe 4 out of 5 women in Sierra Leone at some juncture can expect to have lost a child at some time in their life. Mm-hmm. It's overwhelming. Yes. the kind of experience that African people are forced to have to live in Sierra Leone, as it is in other places on the continent and everywhere Africans find themselves. But in Sierra Leone, part of what ABDEP was able to do there was to participate in a community pediatric assessment where we gathered, many of the children in the community that we were working in. We had parents bring their children so that they could be seen by ABDEP and by ABDEP's medical personnel and by the Olashoro Healthcare Committee itself, and to be able to, look at what the major issues were in terms of health for the children of that community, to be able to have an opportunity for children who hadn't had an opportunity to be seen by a medical doctor or by medical personnel to be seen at that time, and to gather information that would be helpful in building the clinic and be helpful in general about, the medical work that we're doing in that community. And as a part of this pediatric assessment that took place, we were actually instrumental in helping to save the life of a young baby. In fact, there was a young woman who had come with her two twins to the assessment, and her twins were 2 weeks old. And her sister actually came up to our ABDEP medical team leader and asked if she could take a look at the children, look at the twins, in particular the boy twin. There was a girl and a boy. And so when Dr. Strongfields went to the baby, she said that she could immediately see that the baby was basically skin and bones. And when she, took the baby to do an assessment of him, when she opened up his his blanket that his mother had him wrapped in, that she could see he was basically, you know, he was completely emaciated. And when she did her assessment of him, she spoke with his mother and asked, you know, what had he been able to eat? And she said that he hadn't been able to nurse in his 2 weeks. The only thing he had been able to take was a little bit of sugar water. And this, I'm telling this story because this is not something that is uncommon. You know, this is something that many Africans in Sierra Leone and other places have to live with on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our ABDEP and the Olashoro Healthcare Committee were able to immediately organize for the baby to be taken to get some medical treatment. And of course, most people, you know, making less than a dollar a day do not have the ability, even if there's a medical facility nearby, which there wasn't. They don't have access to resources to be able to, you know, afford to be seen. And so, you know, ABDEP was able to organize for the baby to get medical treatment. And we've just received some pictures a couple weeks ago of the baby, and he's beautiful. He's doing well. And so really for us, it underscored the importance of this work. It underscored the importance of African people, you know, taking the responsibility to do what we know is not being done for our people by the hands of the neocolonial governments and imperialists, and that is to organize ourselves to solve our people's problems. And it also underscored for us the importance of the overall work of the African People's Socialist Party and the African Socialist International to forward the international African revolution, because ABDEP can't be everywhere at one place, but we want to be able to make sure that all babies, all African children, have access to decent health care, to have access to, you know, to what they need to survive. So the only thing that's going to make that possible in general is to forward the African revolution, and ABDEP sees our work as something that will help to forward that process. But not absolutely not the solution, but something that's needed to forward the process that will allow us to save all of our babies.
Uhuru, this is very powerful, Dr. Fields. We've been speaking with Dr. Aisha Fields, a physicist and member of the African People's Socialist Party, who leads the All African People's Empowerment and Development Program. This has been an excellent discussion, and we're going to take a few-minute break. And when we come back, we really want to focus on the relationship that North American or white people can have to this work that you're doing, the question of the resources, and how this can be supported. So we'll be right back, and thank you again.
...region of an already impoverished country. Even before the floods, the UN reported that here, around a third of children under five are malnourished. At 18 months, Mamadou is just half the weight.
Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right. Get up, stand up. Stand up for your right.
Give up the fight. Preacher man, oh.
and welcome back to Solidarity Not Charity, the weekly program of the African People's Solidarity Committee right here on uhururadio.com. We're on today with Penny Hess in the studio, chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, and Dr. Aisha Fields, the director of the All African People's Empowerment Development and Empowerment Project. And we're having a really excellent discussion about the projects taking place throughout the African world to empowering African people, solving concrete problems of rainwater harvesting, electricity, clean water, health care, and having a really excellent discussion on that topic. We want to encourage our listeners to join in on that discussion. If you would like to phone in and you have a comment or a question for Dr. Fields, you can phone in the U.S. You can call 727-565-1599. That's 727-565-1599. You can talk live with Dr. Aisha Fields, a brilliant physicist that is just doing an incredible job organizing African engineers and scientists from throughout the world to be able to utilize their skills to improve the conditions and to be able to access the tremendous wealth and control the wealth and resources of Africa for the benefit of the African community. I want to also let people know that you can participate if you, wherever you are in the world, you can participate in
That's Sandy, they got me on. Wendy.
Uhuru, we have a caller butting right into my announcements. Oh, actually, you know what? Caller, if you could phone back because we need to bring you into the conference. We have you as a separate Skype call, which means that we lose Dr. Fields. So if you could hang up and phone back, and we'll try and bring you into the conference. So I just want to let people know that you can, if you're listening and you need to leave your computer and you want to continue to listen, you can listen by phone. On in the U.S., you can phone in to area code 515-489-1670, and you can actually listen to the broadcast over your telephone. If you're in the U.K., you can phone 0870-068-4407, and you can listen live over your telephone from the U.K. If you are in Azania, also known as South Africa, if you're in Cape Town, you can phone 216-736-6887. That's 216-736-6887. Or if you're in Johannesburg, you can phone 11287-2287. So this is indeed the international voice of the African Revolution, and we are honored from the African People's Solidarity Committee to be able to talk with people about the role and responsibility of white people in solidarity with the African liberation struggle. So we're going to return to our discussion with Dr. Fields.
Uhuru.
Uhuru.
Welcome back, Dr. Aisha
Thank
Fields.
You.
We're really honored to have you here today, the coordinator of the All African People's Development and Empowerment Program. And just it's been really exciting and mobilizing, and I feel inspirational to hear the kind of work that's being put on the ground. And I think that part of the reason that this can happen in such a rapid way is because of the work of the African People's Socialist Party and the African Socialist International that you're talking about that unites African people all around the world as one people to take back the stolen resources of Africa and the land which belong to African people everywhere. It's, you know, it's just brilliant, and it's really clear that it is empowering African people everywhere to solve the problems. The thing that I think is really powerful is it gives us a vision of the future, because imperialism and all kinds of charity programs are never going to solve the problem. They're just, they really deepen it, in a certain way. But this is African people themselves, yourselves, taking on and solving the problems of the African Revolution.
Absolutely.
I think one of the issues that's really clear, Dr. Fields, is when we're here as North Americans, as white people, and we have, you know, we're members of the African People's Solidarity Committee, we work under the leadership of the African People's Socialist Party. And the reason that the party organized the Solidarity Committee is because white people as a whole live on the pedestal, and our lifestyle, our opportunities, our homes, our jobs, everything come at the expense of a system built on the backs of African people, of the enslavement of African people for 500 years, and the theft of Africa's gold and resources and colonialism and the stolen rubber, the stolen lives, the stolen brilliance of Africa, which has gone to enrich white people. And, you know, it's really clear when you're talking about these projects, you're talking about resources. You're talking about just an endless stream of resources that needs to go back to Africa, not as charity, not as a favor, but as reparations, as what belongs to Africa. So I would just like to see if you could talk about that a little bit. How can, you know, how are you approaching getting the resources so far, and what can white people do to help get the kind of resources that are needed?
Sure. You know, so far, first of all, we understand that even in the approach to our work, we're not looking at the projects of ABDEP even as something where, you know, Africans from throughout the world, you know, have to bring our skills to Africa because skills don't exist in Africa.
Right.
Or, you know, somehow, you know, Africans, other places, you know, have more ability to solve Africa's problems in Africa on the continent itself. So that, you know, that's not the approach of our work. In fact, many of the places that we've gone to in communities, even in communities where people make virtually nothing, you know, the brilliance of the people is so apparent. And what usually is lacking is access to resources.
Yes.
You know, access to resources. Even, you know, it's you know, even though we organize Africans with skills, because there are always other skills that can be transferred from community to community. Communities that we work in transfer skills to ABDEP. If there is a need for skills, transfer skills to the community. You know, so, but again, resources is one of the key issues, and that determines in the long run what we're able to accomplish and what we're not able to accomplish. So we take this issue of resources very seriously, and we see part of our work as ABDEP. You know, of Africans, especially living in the U.S. and Europe and other places that are imperialist centers, we see part of our job, even if we have skills, you know, technical skills, we see it as using whatever contacts we have, whatever opportunities we have to, you know, to meet people, you know, who have access to resources, to be able to make the struggle to pool these resources and to direct them to Africa. So, you know, we're part of that involves, you know, traveling to universities, and we're always looking for people who are interested in supporting ABDEP to, you know, who have contacts at universities or, you know, with organizations that may be interested in supporting our work, to always, you know, contact us to, you know, see if we can do some kind of a fundraising event or speaking event that could, you know, allow us to raise resources. But our struggle here is one to, you know, win people who have interest in supporting or having solidarity with African liberation.
Yes.
To be able to, you know, work under the leadership of Africans to make that happen. So, you know, we have opportunities for people who are not African to give their skill to help in terms of fundraising, other kinds of you know, skills that might not be directly related to the projects, but things that might be helpful, like graphic design and other kinds of areas. People who have those kinds of skills are, you know, there are opportunities for people to participate directly in ABDEP. And the best way to do that is to, you know, to contact us on our website, www.developmentforafrica.org. Or through email. You can email us at info@developmentforafrica.org or by telephone, area code 256-489-8715. But one of the things that we really, people really have to understand, especially North Americans and other people who you know, may be interested in participating in APTEP, is that, like Penny said, APTEP is not a charity organization. And so people, we want people to understand that your participation in APTEP is, you know, would be one that would be in solidarity with African people ourselves, you know, reclaiming and developing, you know, our own Africa, our Africa, you know. And so, you know, we see, you know, people who, you know, many of the skills even that are needed for some of the projects oftentimes are concentrated in the white communities, especially, you know, in the areas of renewable energy and other kinds of, you know, appropriate technologies. Oftentimes those skills are concentrated in the white communities in North America and in Europe. And, you know, honest forces, honest people who really understand the importance of African people, you know, having control over our resources and, you know, being in the lead, being in, you know, in the leadership of making that happen, are open, you know, we're open to, you know, having you participate in this work on one level or another, under the leadership of you know, the Africans ourselves who are leading this work. So, you know, we're open, and, you know, again, contact us on our website, by phone, and we can find a way to plug you into the work.
Well, I think that's a really important, really key question that you're putting out, because the kind of work that OPDEP does and the African People's Socialist Party is not anything like a missionary or a church or Bono or, you know, these kind of things going into Africa, or Vanity Fair magazine and all these kind of things that really is only about maintaining the dependency, the colonial relationship that's there. But what is so exciting about what you're talking about is the question of national liberation, the question of the liberation of Africa.
Yes.
That is in our interest, because living on the pedestal of the oppression of African people and, by extension, the people around the world is no life at all. There's no security. There's no, you know, there's everybody in the world hates you if you're white.
And, that's right.
You know, it's just that you begin to realize that everything you eat takes the food out of the mouth of a child somewhere where the food comes from and where the diamonds come from. And, you know, it just doesn't make sense. And in fact, with the whole economic and political crisis of imperialism, and even, you know, the crisis of the environment, of the planet, which we see as a byproduct of what the U.S. did and capitalism did to the peoples on the planet Earth. Of course, it destroyed the Earth itself. But the question is, the only thing that's going to solve that is, like you're saying, the brilliance of the oppressed people, of African people themselves, to solve the problem. And white people who stand in solidarity have to understand that. This is not going to be something just a feel-good thing or to, you know, to try to control it or dominate it, but to really understand and internalize that we sit on the resources of Africa. So therefore, we have a responsibility to other human beings. If we want to see a world of peace and justice and an end to war and the kind of suffering that we see, then we have a responsibility to go back into the white community where these resources are hoarded and have been stolen and turn them over. This is what it means to work for peace on the planet, you know.
Absolutely.
We have an email, Dr. Fields, we have an email from Kitty that says, Dr. Fields, thank you for your courage and leadership. And her question is, how do you address environmentalists who focus on green projects as an isolated issue? And I'll just add to that myself that, you know, you see a lot on the news. In fact, I recently saw these ads of white conservatives and liberals sitting on a couch together and talking how they were joining hands over the question of the environment. Like, you're to the right and I'm to the left, but we both care about the environment. And, you know, saying that they're going to solve the environmental questions worldwide. And how do you see the question of environmentalism?
Yeah, I think it's a really, you know, I'm glad you raised that, because, you know, and I think Penny spoke to it in a certain kind of way when she mentioned that what we see in terms of the environment is a byproduct of this rotten, foul social system that we know as capitalism. And, you know, I think it's really interesting that people tend to not want to look at what the root cause of what we see in the environment, you know, is coming from. You know,
yes.
People tend to not want to deal with that. You know, they want to deal with, you know, how we can make a home out of mud instead of, you know, something else. So they want to, you know, how they can get electricity from a solar panel as opposed to, from burning fossil fuels. And oftentimes don't want to have an honest, open, you know, discussion, because the reality is, at the juncture that you're open to really dealing with the core, you have to see your own place in society, and you have to, you know, you have to be able to make a determination on which side of the question you're going to stand on. So oftentimes, you know, environmentalists are that's a community that that's a community that tends not to want to be able to deal with the reality of why things are the way they are. But I think that you know, and I think it's really telling also that there's a certain kind of culture that exists, and I think it speaks to the whole even charity thing, and it's tied into the, you know, many circles like the environmentalist circles and things. And there's this real, I think, kind of almost like a poverty, how can I put it? There's a lot of poverty pimping going on in a lot of ways, where people make their living off of the poverty of the planet, you know, the poverty that has been imposed on the people of the planet Earth. And so, you know, as opposed to really, you know, trying to solve the real problems, people spend a lot of time trying to make themselves feel good by, you know, participating in projects that, you know, they think will, you know, somehow make an impact, you know, on the environment or on poor people, without looking at why it is that people are poor, honestly, why it is that the environment is the way it is, and really doing the work that would take to once and for all end the misery that the people on the planet Earth, you know, are faced with. So, but I do know, though, that there are honest people who just have not had an opportunity to see the world the way the oppressed people see it, and that who, if given the opportunity, you know, to hear the politics of African internationalism, you know, and who, you know, have an opportunity to participate in an organization like APSC, and the Uhuru Solidarity Movement could be one. And so we know that, you know, because that poverty pimping exists doesn't mean that we don't have a responsibility to try to win those who could be won, you know, to a real correct stance on what it will take to correct the environment and to end the poverty and the misery that most people are forced to have to experience. And so, again, that's part of APDEP's work also, because we have a responsibility to take the politics of African internationalism into circles where these skills are concentrated, so that we can bust it open and get what we need to make these projects happen and to forward the African revolution. And I think it's important because, you know, in the absence of an organization like APDEP, people can go around patting themselves on the back about
That's
the
right.
great work they're doing in Africa, or the great work they're doing in India or wherever else. And people are going to have to be forced to stand on the right or the left. And I don't mean the right or the left. Let me take that back. People have to be able to stand on the right side or the wrong side.
Right.
And that's what APDEP is a part of our responsibility to take these politics up into these circles, and to let folks know you have an opportunity to use these skills that you have to truly do something that's going to forward the future, a future for all people, or to continue to be a poverty pimp.
Thank you, Dr. Fields. We have another email coming from Wendy in Oakland, and she says, Uhuru, thank you so much for this show. It is really exciting to hear about the projects, their impact, and how we can support. her question is that there is so much slander against Zimbabwe. Could you say a little more about the political situation that APDEP saw the Ujamaa Youth Farming Project facing in Zimbabwe and how the political situation is impacting on the conditions of African people there?
Thank you, Wendy, for that question. You know, there's a lot, you know, that's in the news recently about Zimbabwe, especially around the elections and, you know, they have this the new election coming up, I think, in June. And so there's this heightened, every time I look on CNN or some other website, you know, there's always some kind of article, at least every other day, about what's going on in Zimbabwe. You know, really some, you know, really I think in an effort to win people to the idea that, you know, Africans in Zimbabwe don't know what they're doing as it relates to the land. The land needs to be given back to the white farmers who, you know, who were the, you know, good custodians of the land and, you know, who helped Zimbabwe be a breadbasket for Southern Africa. And now look what's happening, you know, in the absence of white folks having Africans' land. You know, they don't know what to do. So I think it's really important, this work that we're involved with in the Ujamaa Youth Farming Project. I know that, you know, it's important that we understand that, you know, much of the land that had been, occupied by white settlers in Zimbabwe was not utilized. And so, you know, it's almost as if people have the impression that at one juncture there was all this food that was, you know, being cultivated, and then as soon as Africans had access to the land, you know, because we didn't have the ability to do anything with it, now people are starving. The reality, though, is that sanctions that have been imposed on Zimbabwe by the U.S., European Union, IMF, World Bank have really been targeted at making sure that the people of Zimbabwe and the economy are crippled.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
And what has happened is that, you know, some organizations like UIFP and some individuals, some, you know, people were given access to, you know, acres of land. In the case of UIFP, I think 25 to 50 acres of land in order to be able to, you know, train African youth to be able to, you know, participate in farming and to allow for employment of local youth and, you know, for good food to be available to the community where UIFP is located. And I think that it's important that we look at the fact that I don't know what it is recently, but I think a couple weeks ago there was something like 100,000% inflation rate.
Yes.
Exists in Zimbabwe at the moment. I mean, which makes it impossible for the people to be able to, you know, get the kinds of equipment, to get the kinds of, you know, things that they need to be able to really make good use of the land. And so the work that we're involved with with UIFP or the Ujamaa Youth Farming Project in Zimbabwe is critical at this time because, you know, depending on how things go with this election, you know, there's a possibility that, you know, that land that Africans, you know, have been, the little bit of land that Africans have been able to have as a part of the redistribution may, you know, not be available should this, you know, this new government, you know, take the election.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, though, that we have an opportunity to directly impact the ability for Africans in Zimbabwe to you know, forward the work that has been begun to allow African people ourselves in control of our own resources to do for our people. So there's an opportunity that everybody has to support. We're not talking about supporting Robert Mugabe. What we're talking about is supporting Africans in Zimbabwe's right to have access to the land that rightfully belongs to them. And so, you know, we see this as something that's critical at this time. We see this work as something that's very important. And, you know, we're looking forward to people who have an interest in supporting this work to do so. You can donate online at developmentforafrica.org. Mm-hmm. You can, if you have actually skills in well-building, other kinds of things, there might be an opportunity for, you know, people to participate directly in the work. So, you know, so this is an opportunity to support African people ourselves in control of our resources, especially at a time when, you know, when that's being, you know, Europe, U.S. is struggling like hell to make sure it doesn't happen. So, that's, you know, right. We're looking forward to this work, you know, being put down in a good way.
Dr. Fields, please put out your website and phone number again.
Sure. The website is developmentforafrica.org. Developmentforafrica.org, and telephone number is area code 256-489-8715, and email is info@developmentforafrica.org.
Thank you so much for being on the show, and this is so powerful. I hope we can have you on again, and, you know, we just really stand in solidarity with your work, with the work of the African People's Socialist Party and OPDEP and the African Socialist International, and to say again that Africa and all its resources are the birthright of African people everywhere, and this is just a powerful movement to be part of and to be in solidarity with. And thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. Uhuru.
Uhuru.
Uhuru. Well, this has been an excellent show on Uhuru. Solidarity, Not Charity on UhuruRadio.com. And we had an excellent discussion with Penny Hess, Chairwoman of the African People's Solidarity Committee, and Dr. Aisha Fields, the head of the All African People's Development and Empowerment Projects. We're broadcasting today from Philadelphia, where just last week, three African men were beaten by about 15 white police, beaten badly, and the beating was videotaped, and it's just an ongoing war against the African community here in Philadelphia, where the conditions that African people are facing are brutal conditions, and the police terror that the African community is facing is absolutely unacceptable and just absolute terror, and as one journalist identified it, as open season on African people here in Philadelphia. And we in the African People's Solidarity Committee are organizing a campaign against the stop and frisk policy of the Philadelphia police. And we want to call on and encourage everyone to sign an online petition opposing the stop and frisk policy of the Philadelphia police. And you can do that at our website at apscuhuru.org, which also you may remember more easily as uhurusolidarity.org. We'll get you to the same place. You can go there and sign an online petition opposing the stop and frisk policy and supporting and defending the democratic rights of the African community. And if you're in Philadelphia and you want to get actively involved, we encourage you to come to the weekly meeting of the African Peoples and Uhuru Solidarity Movement meeting at the Uhuru Solidarity Center at 3733 Lancaster Avenue in West Philadelphia. That takes place every Thursday evening at 7:30 p.m. The phone number in Philadelphia is 215-387-0919. So every Thursday at 7:30 p.m., come out. If you're in the Philadelphia area, come and get involved. Defend the democratic rights of the African community. Build support for the Uhuru movement and for the liberation struggle of African people. You can get, again, more information on our website at uhurusolidarity.org. So this concludes the broadcast of Solidarity Not Charity for this week. If you missed any part of it or any previous shows, you can find the archives on the Uhuru Radio website. We want to thank you for listening and encourage you to tune in again on next week. This also concludes the broadcast day for UhuruRadio.com, the online voice of the International African Revolution. Support UhuruRadio.com, subscribe, donate, tell your friends, and tune in again next week. Uhuru. Oh, you took it all, now we're taking it back. ¶¶